seeking, standing, and teaching truth. Many, if not all of us, would say that we believe in absolute truth. But the question is, to what extent are we willing to seek and stand for that truth? Have you ever thought of that? In the New Testament, the word truth is found 123 times. The word true is found 68 times in the New Testament. The word truth is found 238 times in the entire Bible. And the word true, I think, is found 68. So I kind of messed it up. I think it was less than 68 in the New Testament, but 68 total in the Old, in the entire. In the New Testament, the word truth is found 26 times out of the 123 times in the Gospel of John alone. 26 times out of the 123. And the word true is 22 out of the 68 of the entire Bible. All this to say, there is something to be said about concerning the word truth or truth. One of the things that we want to be sure of as a church and members of this church is that we are always seeking the truth and taking a stand for the truth once we know what that truth is. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had some conversations with people concerning doctrine, which is where we are to find absolute truth. The Bible is the source of truth. The Bible says that, or God says in the Bible, let every man be a liar and God to be true. One of the things that I've noticed in our conversations is that we'd be so caught up in a presupposition. And I've said this when I've taught hermeneutics, and I've taught hermeneutics quite a few times, and I think four times here, if I'm not mistaken. Taught it with individuals. And one of the things that I'll always say is understand that everyone has presuppositions. Just understand that about yourself so that when we approach any given text, any passage, we try to be objective, as objective as we possibly can when we look at that passage. But we all have presuppositions, and they are very hard to get through. But when we are looking at a passage, one of the things that we have to understand is that truth is already determined. It is our responsibility to discover that truth. And that's why it's so important to be able to go to a passage objectively, not with presupposed ideas. I say discover because, again, the Bible is truth. God is truth. God has always been, therefore truth has always been. 2 Timothy 2:15 has been my life verse for as long as I can remember. Probably for my entire years of being saved. Be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if there's a right way, there's a wrong way. This verse confirms that God's word is true, and it is our job to rightly divide. We are to observe, to interpret, and then to apply, right? We are to observe, to interpret, and then apply. If we fail the first two steps, we are bound to fail. I'll say this, it is absolutely certain we will fail in the third. The intention of rightly dividing is rightly applying. Which we know, because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Application. Application. If we fail the first two, we are bound to fail the second. 2 John 4. No chapters, just verse. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received a commandment from the Father. His next book, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Our end goal is application. Excuse me. And in order to again, apply God's truth, we must rightly divide. In order to rightly divide, our motivation should be that we believe that God's word is true. And that we should be diligent. And let me just say this. It should really be taking and putting ourselves aside, because that's what we're doing when we approach the scriptures and try to say to ourselves, it can't be about me. It can't be about my preconceived ideas. It has to be about the Word of God, and allow me to discover what God says. Listen to these verses concerning the Word of truth, concerning God's Word. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee, or who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. After we heard the word of truth. Now, a lot of times when we see the word truth in regards to His word, here we will see it as the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And again, what I really want us to understand, and it really is determined by the context, of course, is that the gospel is determined, again, from the context. But sometimes the gospel is just talking about the entirety of Christianity. And other times it's just really talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that it is faith in God's grace. Romans chapter 1, 24 and 25. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and served the creature rather than the Creator, who are blessed forever. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see that? That verse was a great verse in seeing that the word of truth is correlated, is equal to the word of God, and the purpose was so that it is effective in its working in you who believe. That is the purpose of the word. But if we do not rightly apply, then it doesn't matter. We can sit there and say all the time, and we do. I hear people say this all the time. The word of God, God's Bible, is the authority of our lives. It is absolute truth. But then they don't approach it that way. They approach it as if their truth. Watching a video of Vodi Bakum this morning on the way in. Well, I wasn't watching it, of course. I was listening. And it doesn't even have him up on stage anyway. It just shows a picture of him. And he was talking about a politician, and I don't know who he's talking about, a politician who justified homosexual marriage by the Sermon on the Mount, verses Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And he says, this is why my view of marriage is the way that it is. He goes, I don't take the obscure teachings of Romans, which is a crazy statement, because Romans is very precise about the issue. I say that to say this. If we do that. Not that bad. But we do that because we feel so strong, or we want to believe something, or we don't want to be outside of a certain group. We will change, or we will look or gravitate toward the verses that want to support, if you will, Oprah Winfrey, our truth, my truth. But it's not my truth, it's God's truth. And therefore, I have to diligently seek his truth. When we look at the word or the aspect of truth, one of the reasons why we want to know truth, and truth is found in worship. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we looked at that recently concerning the woman at the well. Jesus says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. How many times you see the same thing you must pay attention to, right? So there is a wrong way to worship. And again, and I think Dave alluded to this morning, worship isn't the act of singing. One is the intellectual approach to who God is. We worship God, it's worth-ship. We know that he is worthy of worship. To prostrate oneself before another, face down, and giving him homage. That's worship. But it's worshiping in truth. And that means not who you make Jesus out to be, but who Jesus is. We don't come and manufacture some kind of false worship as if music is worship. Music is a reflection of your actions, or the reflections of what you believe to be true about the one you're worshiping. That's not worship. Worship is a lifestyle. It's your dedication to the one whom you believe. We have all these churches that are seeker-friendly and market-driven, purpose-driven, whatever. And their whole approach is to grow their church. I didn't get to watch it all. I started to, but Apologia Church or whatever, their radio station. And a guy came, he was from Michigan. They used to call that God country. And I don't know how in the world they come to that conclusion. That's kind of like saying Chicago is. Anyway, he was a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher. He was seeker-friendly, market-driven, whatever. 12,000 people, or 10,000 people he had in his church. He's so good. He said it took forever for him to see the truth, and that is not the truth. That is not the truth. And he actually started going to Jeff Durbin's and sitting under his leadership. Pretty courageous, pretty good. That stuff is not the truth. You need to stand, and when we worship, we must worship in truth. And how do we find that truth? In the Word of God, as we looked at just prior. God's truth sanctifies. It sanctifies. John 17, 17 through 19. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification is a setting apart. Listen, guys and girls. Listen, brothers and sisters. When we believe the truth, stand for the truth, worship in truth, we will be sanctified. Here it is passive tense, and that means that God is going to sanctify us by his truth. So sanctify them by your truth. Jesus speaking to the Father, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. That they also may be sanctified by the truth. Again, how many times do we see the word truth and the act of sanctification? Whether it's passive or active, whether it's God doing it upon us or whether we do it ourselves, right? Whether or not we sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart. The only way that we set ourselves apart is to understand the falsehood, look into God's word, which is truth, and in accordance to God's truth, set ourselves apart unto God. Witness. How are we to be a witness if we don't know the truth? Or we're going to be a false witness if we are determined to witness in accordance to what we want to believe. John 18, 37, Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." I should bear witness of the truth, or to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. First of all, you want the truth. Don't you just want the truth? You know, you think about the political aspect of what's going on, and I don't care what side of the aisle on, I just want the truth. You can't trust anyone today. Just want the truth. Jesus said, "I've come to bear witness of the truth." And here's the thing, guys. As we are to follow Jesus, we are to also be witnesses of the truth. Mark 16, 15 and 16, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, and who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense for the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." We are to be witnesses of this truth. How are you to be ready? Sanctify the Lord God, sanctify his truth, and be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that's in you. Why do you live the way that you do? Be a witness, right? To bear testimony of what you believe and what you apply. But you are not going to be able to do that if you do not know the truth, if you do not believe the truth. Because you will make up certain things that are not true because you make yourselves or for yourselves a false image or a false belief in who you believe God to be when he's really not him. I used to say years ago, and I know I've said this to you before, but I've said for years that I believed, I had this thing that people seek God. And I would make the argument based on the fact that the people in the jungles, in the bush, they have gods. But here's the truth of the matter, and I think this has been proven over and over again, and Frank Turek, I think is his name, has asked the question, if Christianity was true, meaning he's asking him if they were without a doubt, believed without a doubt that Christianity was true, would you become a Christian? He said, yeah, probably not. That's the truth, and that's a person who says that they may be seeking for the truth but do not want to know the truth. And that's how it is with everybody. They may be having a religious spiritual experience. They believe that life is spiritual. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth. When we are to be a witness, we are to be a witness to the truth. We are to be witnesses of the truth. And we are to divide the word so that we know what our witness is to be. We are to be grounded in the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I hope that is over within the next few days. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's why I said in the beginning, we want to be a church of the truth, a church that is made up of individuals who stand for the truth. But I want to read that again because that is a great passage. And Paul is, again, writing to Timothy in order for him to understand how to conduct the church. He says, these things I write to you prior, right? Though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. In other words, God is true. We are the church of the living God, and therefore I want you to know how to conduct yourselves. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he has turned a sinner from the error of his way. Of his way will save his soul from death and cover multitude of sins. Why did I include that passage? Because if you are grounded in the truth, it is less apt that you will wander from the truth. If we are committing a sin, it's because we are not in the truth. I was talking to someone, and again, man, that was really quick because I do believe it was, maybe it was Sunday school, I'm not sure. But the more that we know of the truth, the more that we are grounded in the truth, the more that we are mature in God, the less apt we are, I think it was Sunday school, the less apt we are or will be tossed to and fro, James talks about. If we are grounded, if we are mature, if we are complete in Christ, another word for mature, by now you should be eating meat, but you are still drinking milk, is what Paul says in Corinthians. The writer of Hebrews says, you ought to be eating meat, but you still have to go over the elementary things of the gospel. Baptism, faith, resurrection. People who are immature and have a lack of understanding of the truth are so susceptible of being deceived. We need to be grounded in the truth. We need to teach the truth. Mark chapter 12, verse 14. When they had come to them, they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and are not and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Teach the way of God in truth. You know, as I said earlier, as Jesus was a teacher of truth, and we are to emulate, we are to follow his example and also be teachers of truth, God's truth. It really doesn't matter how big this church gets. We will always preach truth. And that is not attractive to a lot of people. With most people, you want to appeal to their feelings, their emotions. You want them to leave refreshed, feeling better about themselves. And I'm not saying that those times shouldn't be. I mean, the Bible is loaded with those aspects as well. And when we come across those passages, we'll preach those passages in truth. But that's not what the Bible is, the church is about. The church is about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. In any facet, it's about equipping the people of God for marriage. It's about equipping the people of God in how to raise their children, how to be an employee, how to be an employer. That's what the church is about. It's an educational institution as well as an organism, the body of Christ. But it's to be done, and we are to teach in truth as Jesus taught in truth. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which you're very familiar with. And Jesus came and spoke to them after the resurrection. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, learners of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35, and I don't mean this as a put down or anything against women. This is just what the Bible says, and my point isn't what it says about women, but really what it says concerning the men, their husbands. And if they want to learn something, speaking of women, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. I'm not going to go through what that really means, but the point again here is, husbands, do you know the word of truth so that when your wife has a question, you can rightly divide it and bring them to the source of truth? As I've said many times before, listen, it isn't good enough just to know the word in the sense of, hey, you know, I know Paul said somewhere, hey, bring them to the truth. That's what it means to rightly divide the word of truth, is to be able to go and say, hey, Paul says in Romans, let me show you. Peter says in his second letter, let me show you. John says over here in the gospel, let me show you. And if you don't know it at this time, that's fine. Grab a concordance and look up the verse, because you have an idea of where it is. But husbands, it's your responsibility to be the head of that home, and to be able to lead your wife by the truth. And it's your responsibility to teach her, not only your wife. And it addresses husbands here, or fathers here in the next passage, but it also applies to you moms. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. It's fun, I understand. But don't. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You can only do that in truth. We need to study God's word because it is true. That's where we start. That's what we believe. If we are going to be a church of God and a person of God, we must seek God's truth without presuppositions. We got to get out of our own heads and listen to what God is saying, not what we think Him to be saying or want Him to be saying. We must understand the absolute truth is already established, and that it is our job to discover that truth. That's what it means to be approved unto God, not approved unto ourselves. Let's pray.